That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And hope you're having a blessed morning this Saturday morning, August 13th, 2016. And we've got the men here with us. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you out there for joining us. We know that the remnant join us from all over. And we say good morning to you, and we say good morning to you, Lord Jesus, as well. And we say, Holy Spirit, won't you come and be with us today? Well, Tim, if you'll want to open us up in prayer, and then we'll open the phone lines and just kind of go from there.
Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, and we thank you for the beauty of your creation and the power of your word, Lord, for the fact that you speak things into existence and that nothing is, or nothing that will be, or nothing that has been. It's not by your say-so. Lord, we stand in awe of the power of Almighty God, and we don't even recognize the full extent of it. Lord, we do our best as the crippled vessels that we are in this state, Lord, to recognize the fact that you sit upon the throne of the universe and that you are the all-powerful and the almighty and that you are the I am. Lord, we just thank you for your steadfastness, your unmovability, the things that you give us, the stone set upon the corner that all the rest of the foundation is built upon, that we have these things to base our life upon and to base our journey upon. Lord, I just pray that you'd watch over your people and over your creation, and Lord, that you would set it right, make it new, make it the way that it needs to be. And Lord, that if we just thank you that if we can help in any way, that you give us that ability, that opportunity to serve you. Lord, we do it. Help us to do it for your honor and for your glory. Watch over us now, Lord, Help us to utter words that are pleasing and honoring to you, that build up the remnant, Lord, that strengthen their belief, that give them the thoughts that they need to think and the ability to serve you better. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless this ministry in a mighty way, that you would continue to strengthen it, build it up, and make it what it was started out to be, Lord, and what you intended for it to be. I just pray that you would just build a hedge around it, that no harm nor evil come near, Lord, that you would protect it with your angels and your power. We ask all these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.
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 Thanks, brother.
Amen. Yes, thank you. And folks, it's Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We got our Bibles open. We're the Wranglers, and hey, we've got coffee on. Got a good hot pot here, and got some good coffee. And we'll have the phone lines open today, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. Had an update of for Dr. Dan, and we've had several phone calls. And if you'd like to send a card to Dr. Dan, if you just send it here to the ministry and just put Dr. Dan on it, we'll sure get it to him. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And so if you want to send him a card or something, if you send it to us and put his name on it, we'll sure get it to him. And he's still over in the hospital, and Jason's still with him, but we're continuing to pray for him. We ask you to continue to pray for him, and we're praying, believing that he will just amaze the doctors and get a full recovery out of this. And
amen.
Continue
Jason
to be able to
pray. Prayers,
yes.
And his family as well, as he's being stretched pretty thin, trying to deal with all of the affairs, being the oldest son. So.
Yes, definitely do that.
Absolutely.
And we hope you're reading your Bible. And it's our job here to remind you to do that. And we have a reminder on the website and a Bible reading plan. And the August plan is up there. And if you're reading your Bible, you're going to read a little bit out of Psalms today. And then you're going to read Romans 13. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy about Romans 13, be subject to government. And Pastor has a pamphlet. And if you'd like it, we'll send it to you free of charge. It's called Authority, Resistance, or Obedience. And this is a message that the pastor preached on Romans 13 and put it into booklet form. It's just a little 20-page booklet, and we usually get $2 or $3 for it, but we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge, because it does. It uses the Bible to explain Romans 13, and it talks about the founding fathers of this nation and the attitudes that they had. And it's got some little graphics in it and a little bit of artwork. And so if you'd like that, if you're not familiar with Romans 13 and what a true Christian's response should be to Romans 13, and understanding Romans 13 as it pertains to authority, we encourage you to write and ask for it. Authority, Resistance, or Obedience. It's a real small, easy read, and I think it will open your eyes to some truths in the Bible that you don't always see. And you know, there's one other part of Romans 13, and then guys, I'll turn it over to you. But there's one other part of Romans 13 that many people don't talk about, and it's regarding fulfilling the law of Christ. Because the Bible talks about in several places in the New Testament, doesn't talk about the law of Christ being nailed to the cross, doesn't talk about the law being done away with, but it talks about fulfilling that law. You know, that means, in my opinion, in my understanding, that means obeying that law. And so if the New Testament is telling us stuff that we need to be doing, like obeying the law, fulfilling the law, we should be doing it, I think. Now, to me, that's what the Bible says. Might not be what that false Judeo-Christian preacher's telling you on Sunday morning, tickling your ears. But it's what the Bible says. And it's just real simple. It's in Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And then you can keep on reading over it. You know, it talks about some of the other commandments. And it says, if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbors yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And our people miss that. That doesn't mean that we walk around with long hair and sandals and you know, smoking and just love. No, it's not the sloppy agape. But, you know, if you love someone, you want them to be well. You want them to be healthy, but you want them to be blessed. And you care for them. You know, they talk about, saving souls. Well, we care about our brethren. We don't want them to be lost. That's why we continue with the broadcast and we continue with this ministry. God's not finished with us yet. Praise the Lord for that. There are still some that are out there that don't know this commandment, don't know how to fulfill the law. You know, verse 11 here in Romans 13 says, "Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed." And, you know, his day draws near. And we, you know, what sort of people ought we to be, you know, as his day draws near? Part of it is loving our neighbor. And because we love our neighbor, we tell them the truth, as politically incorrect as it may be. And part of that is the good news of the gospel. You know, part of that is sin. And you can't sin and get by. Anyway, I'm going to drink some coffee.
John 14:15 sums it up in just a few short words. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments."
Yes.
And here for the past couple of years, I've been working with a good friend of mine who owns a granite company and just purchased some really high-tech equipment out of Italy that automates the process substantially, from doing the cutting and the cutting of the sinks and all that was extremely time consuming. But the other thing that this program can do is it can carve and it can do lettering in granite. So working with him over the past couple of years, came up with a program, and we just completed the Ten Commandments out of black granite that's 4 feet wide and 5 feet high. And at the bottom of that is that John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But plan on setting that up at the church here in the near future. But he said, "What about if I did one of, what if I did one of these a month and we just delivered them to different churches around the area?"
Amen.
And just gifted it to them. But you know, the sad thing is, in today's day and age, there'd be churches that would probably refuse to have that put up in front of their buildings.
Well, then they choose this day, don't they? You know,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, even it reminds me, John, of the in the Old Testament when it talked about, you know, hey, you know, "Tell my law to your children, write it upon the doorposts of your home." Mm-hmm. You know, and you.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah. We are to always look upon his law, read his word. You know, his word is Christ. That the word, you know, dwelt among us and became flesh. The word is Christ. And we are always to have his word before us. You know, we get so sidetracked in this land and in this time and society that we're in. We get so bound under Satan's yoke. We get so busy. We all do. We sure don't want to.
Being
under Satan's yoke. And, you know, and we do. That word busy, we've got to have, you know, we've got to wake up to that. And that, no, we're not under Satan's yoke. We're about the Father's business. And part of that is having his word. We you know, having his word in front of us. So,
yeah.
That's a great idea to, man, if he would do that, what a testimony.
You think the enemy might have understood that when they removed the Ten Commandments from the school system in 1963?
Yeah.
You know, if you belong to God, then you have the laws of God written on your heart. And that's why we were to have those laws in front of our eyes all the time.
Yes.
Because the conviction in our heart would keep us from breaking those commandments. And the enemy knows that. So if they can remove these things of God... See, the one world order cannot succeed to overtake a Christian nation, and they know that. So they have to destroy the nation. They have to destroy its morality. They have to destroy its Christianity before that they can conquer it, and that's what they're doing. But we've let it happen. We've fallen asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. And if we don't wake up, then, you know, we all know the end of the story.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Well, this
well, and the go ahead.
No, Tim, go ahead.
The truth of the matter is everybody wants those Ten Commandments done to them. When they tell you that they don't want them, what they mean is they don't want them in place so that they can do, so that they can not follow the
yeah.
love your neighbor. You know, I mean, if, you take people who, I'm reminded of, I knew one pastor personally in the area, and he wanted to, boy, you know, get rid of that law. I mean, that's what he talked about all the time. And, it wasn't very long after that, and you know, a guy came in and ran off with his wife, and then someone in a business venture basically took his money, you know, and stole from him in a fraudulent fashion, and several other things. And oh my goodness, he just, you know, just whined and bellyached about that. But when you think about it, he wanted to do away with the law. They were just doing away with it and doing to him what, you know, what the absence of it brings about. So, but the fact that he was unhappy and about it shows the fact that he actually wanted it. He just didn't want it for anybody else. He wanted it for himself. But, you know, I mean, I think you can, there's a lot of people out there like that.
They are. They don't understand that the Bible tells us, just like it says, we read, to love your neighbors yourself, right? And if that fulfills the law, that sums up the commandments, it does. Because if you love your neighbor, you know what? You're not going to covet his wife or anything else he has. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to blaspheme him. You're not going to lay in wait for him. You're going to look after his stuff. If it's his ox that falls in the ditch, or, you know, or whatever it is. And, you know, you're going to watch out for his stuff just like you do yours if you do that. And that's one of the things we have to remember. The law is good. You know, and the Bible tells us we are to delight in his law. The righteous man delights in his law. And, you know, that is what we are to do. Again, and have his word before us at all times. And John, you hit it right on the head. Our people who are sheep, when it's taken away from them, bad. Is that bad? Is that not good? No, everything's fine, just go about your business, you know, and then a couple generations later, you see where we're at, you know. Was it a good thing or a bad thing that, you know, the Ten Commandments were taken out of the public school system? Well, you know, look at the public school system today. Was it a good thing or a bad thing when they stopped prayers in school? Well, look at it today, look at our society. And we're trying to wake people up. We read this, Romans 13:11. Do this. And by this, he means what we just read about loving your neighbors yourself. Knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Doesn't that sound like today? I mean, this was 2,000 years ago. Paul's writing a letter to the Christians in Rome, and he says, you gotta stop doing all that stuff, people. Doesn't it sound like today? Boy, we could shout this from the rooftops today. It's time to wake up, people. It's time to don't be carousing around. Don't be living in drunkenness like you were. Don't be living in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Don't have strife and jealousy in your home, in your life, in your church. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. You know, we think that sometimes that the problems that we have today are unique just to today. You know, you read this, and 2,000 years ago in Rome, guess what? They had the same problems. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and repent and return, folks. When you do that, it's a great ride. You know, there's nothing our God will not do for his people. There's nothing he hasn't already done for his people. But that sin that separates him from his people, that prevents him from hearing, well, that sin is still there. But we have the opportunity, we have the provision to be forgiven for that. We have been forgiven for that.
Right. Yeah, I woke up this morning for some reason, was brought to Matthew 24, and was reading there, starting in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and I will and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all of these are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all of the nations, and then the end will come." But
amen.
You can see, if you look at the news, it looks like Russia is setting up right now to invade Crimea, and then it appears that full-scale war may be on the verge breaking out in the South China Sea. Apparently, China is trying to establish ownership on several islands that have been claimed by more than one nation, country for years. I don't know if you guys have seen all that, but and then Obamanation, just to stir it up on purpose, I'm sure, sent three stealth bombers with nuclear capability over the that site and stationed them now within striking range of this conflict. So, yeah, we're definitely witnessing the prophecies.
Absolutely. We are. And you know, we've got a caller. Let's bring the caller on. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. Morning, guys. This is Robert in Tennessee. I heard somebody make a statement a couple weeks ago, and this is kind of an off-the-wall question, but it's important to me and it may be to other people. And the question is, and I've never heard the pastor even address this, and I've got probably over 500 of his CDs. What about cremation for a Christian? Is that Christian?
Well, Robert,
I've never heard nobody talk about that.
Yeah, Robert.
Good, that's a good question, brother.
Yeah, it's come up a time or two, and I can tell you I didn't get to talk to the pastor about everything, but there was a time or two we talked about that. And basically I think I could properly reflect what the pastor had put out at a time or two, or at least with individuals, was that traditionally Christians have buried their dead. Okay? You read all through it. And the cremation has basically been, that's something that has come in from the East. The old ancient Vikings and all that kind of stuff used to do that type of thing, but it doesn't mean that it was right. It was before they converted to Christianity. Traditionally, Christians buried their dead, and that cremation was part of the Eastern religion. It's something that had come in from the East. However,
it's been adopted.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't make it right.
But the physical body, whatever happens to the physical body, really is irrelevant. You know, after we die, we know.
And I understand
that this body is corruption. And so the bottom line is, when I had heard the pastor when he was with us, minister with people about it, and the bottom line was, is it's not a sin. You know, the sin sin is transgression of the law, okay? But also in Romans 14, 23, it's talking about food in Romans 14, principles of conscience. So I would encourage you to read that, because that might help you with that, because the very end of Romans 14 says, but whatever is not from faith is sin. Okay? Whatever is not from faith is sin. And so, you know, there's a lot there. But the bottom line was that, you know, not necessarily not a Christian practice. It's not what we have done traditionally, you know, over the 2,000 years that we've had Christianity, you know, since the time of Christ. And then even all through the Old Testament, you see, they buried in the sepulchres, in the tombs. They buried their dead. It's what we did as a people. That's been our culture. Now, we're a land of many cultures today, you know, and our culture has been all but lost. But I can remember Pastor telling people it's not a sin.
It's not a sin.
We don't have
We
don't have all the answers, right? But I liken it to baptism. Look at what the Roman Catholic Church did to immersion baptism. Under the guise of making it more convenient, they went to sprinkling, right? And the dumb sheep bought into it. Now, my position and our ministry's position is that we are to bury our dead.
Yes.
The Bible's clear that God will open their graves and raise them from the dead. Now, does that mean if you're cremated, you won't be in heaven or have eternal life? I don't know that answer, and no one does. But I think I'll go.
I don't want to take that chance either.
Right. You know, our body undergoes, you know, our body is corruption, you know, and our body, when we die, it undergoes further corruption. You know, the dust is to return to the dust. It's what we're made of. And over time, that's what happens. And so this physical, when we are resurrected, will put on, you know, incorruption. I look forward to that day, you know. And I'm still a young man, and I don't have the aches and pains and the stuff that some of our older people do. But, you know, you talk to them, and they look forward. A true Christian looks forward to that day when they have that heavenly body. And so, you know, what happens to the physical body, you know, those that have drowned, those that went down on the Titanic, that their bodies will never be recovered, they will be resurrected on the judgment day as well. And they will have a new body. You know, the Bible tells us that. And so, you know, this physical body, in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter what happens to it. You know, if we're eaten by a shark or by bears or, you know, the body undergoes corruption and decay and is done away with. But,
you know, Robert, Richard, I've understood all of that because, you know, deductive reasoning would tell me that there's been bodies that have been totally destroyed.
Yes.
And I know they're Christians, too, and they will be resurrected. I just want to know, how would my God think about it? What would he think about it?
Well, see, and that
and I think you've answered my question.
Well, Robert, that's honoring to God. You know, we do things, you know, and that's how we should think about things. If I do this, what's God going to think about this? What's God going to think about this? You know? So bottom line, we don't see in the Bible where it says, you know, we know sin is the transgression of God's law. We don't see in God's law where he says, do not cremate. Now he says, you know, don't let your children pass through the fire. You know, we know that was the old Molech, you know, that was they would burn, you know, and give their children, sacrifice their children into the burning arms of Molech. You know, that was an abomination to God. But they were alive at the time. They weren't dead. And so, you know...
I'm 65 and I have those aches and pains.
Sure.
And I've told my daughter, don't worry about it, just cremate me and bury me and don't worry about it. Because I never really gave it much of a thought until I heard this statement. And then I started thinking about it and I couldn't think of anybody better to ask than you guys. And I think you've answered my question.
Well, good. Yeah, bottom line.
And I appreciate
line,
your time, and I love listening to you guys.
All right, good. All right, Robert.
Every Saturday.
Thank you.
Sunday, too, sometimes.
Great.
I mean, I listen to the rebroadcast on Sundays.
Where are you at in Tennessee?
I live outside of Knoxville. I live up in the Smoky Mountains here.
Oh, it's beautiful out there.
I live right on a lake here. I love it up here. It's very quiet, very peaceful.
All right, Robert. Well, thank you.
And
hope that helped. Read Romans 14. I would do that because it's not a sin, but it talks about conviction. And again,
yeah,
the Bible,
even if it's not a sin,
right here
I
it
take
says,
care more.
Sure, whatever is not from faith is sin. And so read through that. It talks a lot about food and not wanting to be a stumbling block, and you know, and it sounds like you're convicted that, you know, as for me and my house, you know, we've always, you know, buried our dead. That's what we'd want to do. That's what we would want to do.
All right, man. You guys have a great day.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
You too.
Thank you.
Right. Bye.
Got another caller here. I think that's a good thing. Look, can you hold your thoughts, guys? If you can hold your thoughts, let's take this caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, Richard, James from Idaho here. Good morning, John, Tim. Hey, I wanted to chime in on the cremation thing, and I got to apologize. It's been many years since I read it, but many years ago, 15-plus years ago, I read a book, and he was against cremation for the Christian, and one of the points he made was about DNA, and with burial, the bone marrow is preserved in most burials, where there's a dry burial in the crypt or something like that. And the DNA, of course, is what makes you an individual. Each of us has a separate, unique DNA. And his thing was, but it's ideal to preserve that DNA for the resurrection. So on the resurrection day, the body will be reformed using that unique DNA. And of course, the first question, like you guys just discussed with the other caller, is what happens to the bodies that are completely disintegrated or through whatever accident there's,
right,
it's gone. I don't know. And I forget what the gentleman in the book said, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the title or anything like that. So I just wanted to chime in with that. And also, too, real quick, the Viking ritual was mentioned, but you got to keep in mind with the Viking ritual, it wasn't a complete cremation. There was no technology that turned everything to ash that destroyed the bone marrow. It was basically just a ritual fire on a ship. I'm sorry, guys. Go ahead.
No, just go ahead and finish.
You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was interrupting somebody there trying to chime in. So, yeah, the Viking ritual, there was not a like today we have the technology now with crematories to, you know, basically turn it into a pile of dust where there is nothing left. That didn't happen back in the Viking days because of obviously lack of temp in the fire. So anyhow, just a couple thoughts on that, and I'll let you guys discuss and let you go unless you want me to stay on the line or not discuss at all. Those are just a couple of my thoughts on that, because I've been gnawing over that cremation thing since I read that book many years ago, and I suggest to family and friends, you know, when that's brought up, not to do it. I just say I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to do it. And like the previous caller, I believe he said, the gentleman in his mid-60s, he's not going to be cremated. It's better to be safe than sorry type thing, and that's kind of where I'm at, you know. So
James, I think we would stand and say, you know, that it's like when Christ told the young man, you know, when he said, I'll follow you, but let me go bury my parents first. You know, and the reply was, let the dead bury the dead. And I think that, you know, there's a lot to that saying, but, you know, our body, when we're dead, we're dead. You know, the physical dies, and that's it. And yeah, it, you know, we serve the God of the DNA, the God that created the DNA. If he created it once, he can bring it back again, is my opinion on it. That because there are people that die in fires, or people that, you know, the honorable Christian men that went down on the Titanic, that put their women and their children, women and children they didn't even know, put them in lifeboats and said, you go, you know. And and they by their last act, they bore good fruit. You know, they will have a new body. This body I have, I don't want this body in the kingdom, you know, because I got a better body coming. And so, yeah, we I think we're in agreement. We recommend, hey, we have always buried our dead as Christians.
Tradition.
You know? And as Christians.
I would say that the DNA resides with the soul. That's what I would say.
I think so. I think so. And it's something that our scientists can't.
Is that you have a conscious decision, right? You have a conscious decision, too. If you're a Christian and you read your Bible and you understand that there's a lot of Bible verses that talk about God raising the dead, opening the graves and raising the dead, then you probably are convicted to the point where, yes, you want to be buried. But look at it, in this Antichrist society with the EPA that we have and this wicked government, don't be surprised if that comes down at some point, and hopefully we're not giving them an idea, where it's illegal to bury the dead because of space or because of contamination. You know, those days are coming. The rule of thumb that Pastor always taught us was go against whatever the majority does, right? And the majority today cremates because it's convenient. That's the only reason that they do it. It's convenient. And guess what? It's cheaper, right?
I was going to say they've made it economically feasible. I mean, yeah, exactly. The cost of cremation compared to the cost of burial has become, I mean, burials are, I don't remember right now what the average cost of a funeral is, but it's in the tens of
minimum $5,000.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. So, you know, John, you can drop a lot of money on that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Tim, didn't mean to walk on you there. John, you raise a great point, and we're actually already there. Long gone are the days of where I can bury my parents on our property. That's illegal by the world's or municipality standards. You can't do that. They will haul you to jail for that. It's not permissible. I believe, if I recall, once again, years ago looked into it, to have a burial on your property, you have to get the king's permission to do so. You just can't dig a hole and put your parents in it when they pass away or anything like that. It's a racket. They want your business. This is the cost was mentioned. Yeah, it's in the several to $10,000 with the coffins and the crews and the backhoe and the lot and all that. So, I'm gonna let you guys go. I know you got a lot more to talk to. I really enjoy this show that you guys do on Saturday mornings. I enjoy all your shows, although I don't get to listen to a lot of them, but I try to tune in for this one every Saturday when I can, and you guys do a great job, and I know Pastor Peter would be really proud of the work that you all are doing. So thank you very much. Y'all have a great morning, okay?
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you, James. Thank you. God bless.
All right.
James. Take care. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, you know, in Wyoming, when we first buried the pastor's first wife and then his son and then him, we had to deed off a portion of the land as a cemetery. But I know that there are some states where it is illegal. You know, I've been to funerals in Missouri and forget where else, but where children have, you know, died through accidents and things, and the parents have elected to basically just build a pine box and bury them on the family land. But there's strict guidelines regarding that too. The body has to be in the ground within 24 hours if they're not going to be embalmed. But they've made it Arkansas too. I know of several people who have buried their relatives. But the reality is too, do we need the king's permission, right? It comes to a point where, are we going to follow God's law or man's law? And God's law says that I can bury him. Man's law may say otherwise, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen. And you know, John, that ties back to that authority, resistance, or obedience pamphlet that the pastors put together so many years ago. And I would encourage you folks, if you're not familiar with it, I'll send it to you for free. You know, it talks about you know, the duty of a Christian and the purpose of the authority or power that Romans 13 talks about. And I think it's just, you know, providence that it comes up today, that Romans 13 is in our Bible reading plan, and this is what comes up, because we are subject to his authority, but it's God's authority. And you know, and so I encourage you to read through this. Read Romans 13 today. If you haven't in a while, read it. We read a third of it already this morning. It's not a hard read, but it is a worthy chapter, as they all are, you know, to read and to think about it. You know, that's one of the reasons for the Bible reading plan, is to read, and then, you know, not to sit down and read the whole book of Romans at one time, but to read a chapter, half a chapter a day, and think about it. You know, that's what that, you read all through the Psalms that we're reading as well, and you see that word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And, you know, what that word means, it's lost in today's translations. But what it means is, pause. Think about that for a minute. You know, shut off the world. Take a deep breath. And think about that. Like we read, love your neighbors yourself. Think about that for a minute. You know, what does that mean? You know, treat him the way you want to be treated. That was kind of brought up earlier. You know, I think you talked about that, Tim, about that law. Yeah, they people want to be treated by the law, but they don't want to do it back. And so, you know, you have to do that sometimes. That's how this Bible is. You know, you get a truth or something, you read something, think about that word Selah. You take a breath and think about it. For a minute. The people don't do that today. That's another thing the enemy, you know, wants to prevent is his people from thinking about his word. You know, because there's more things to do than that. You know, you got your games, you got your phone, you got the other phone's ringing, you got this, you got to go here, you got to go there. You know, your cars today, the vehicles, you can talk on, you can't even, you know, you drive and if the radio's not on, hey, you just put your phone there. And you can get calls and texts, right? Hands free, right? You know, you can't even get away from your phone when you're driving anymore. You know, I remember the day, and I'm sure you guys do too. We're all pretty close to the same age growing up. You had one phone in the house, and it was a rotary dial. And you know, when you went and drove somewhere, you talked. You know, if mom and dad or you, the kids, you know, we drove around. You know, you drove to granny's house or something. You're talking on the way, not on the phone. Because there weren't cell phones, but you were talking, you were thinking about things, you were engaging one another in conversation and thought, and you know, that's been removed from society today. Anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some of the best conversations that I ever had with my Lord were while I was driving somewhere alone, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. turn the radio off, yes. and you had, on a long trip, it was a real chance to, you know, you're out there on the road, there's nobody out there, especially in the western part of the country. Sometimes you can drive for, you know, a long time and never see another vehicle. You can really get into things with the Lord there, you know.
Amen.
And it's an opportunity.
It is. And you know, Remnant, if you haven't
or
done
listen
that.
To messages too from
yes
from before times and it's amazing how you, especially when you're alone, just like Tim says, I love to drive everywhere. If I can drive, I'm driving. That's the way it is. I just hate to go through the stinking airport and be subject to their
communism.
But that time, yeah, alone, whether it's listening to a message or just listening to some soothing music or whatever, the thoughts that the Lord will give you, the ideas that He'll give you, because, you know, He wants us to succeed, and if we, He says we have not because we ask not, you know. So when we're traveling and if we're talking to God and we're asking Him, Lord, guide and direct me, give me wisdom and understanding, help me to do my job to the best of my ability, open the doors that I need open and close the doors that I need closed, you know. All those things that we've learned, that's the best time really to get in touch with God.
It is.
Absolutely.
The scripture comes to mind, be still and wait on the Lord. And you know, there's a time for that. There is. Even in our busy, I'm not going to use that B word, even in our hectic at times lives today, we can still take time. We need to make a conscious effort to be still and wait on the Lord. You know, hear what He has to say. He's not one It all the time anyway, to jump into all this hustle and bustle and roar and all this activity that's going on. You know, He's not always one to just go in there and be the loudest one in the group. Sometimes.
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
No. Yeah.
You know, but most of the time it's that time in the sun, I noticed it this morning, didn't come up till about 6:15 out here our time. And you know, it wasn't but a month ago and it was coming up at 6:15. And you know, but that's a nice quiet time to be able to just, you know, good morning, Lord. Thank you for the sunrise. Thank you for this beautiful, you know, this beautiful day that's forming. And just, again, that word Selah from the Psalms, you know, just take a moment.
It goes along with Psalms 46:10. You know, it says, cease striving and know that I am God and I will be exalted among the nations. and I will be exalted in the earth. You know, and I, that's that same thing, that striving, because you, you know, you go to work, you get up, you got hustle, bustle, the radio's on, you need this, you need that, and there's, you know, it's a wonderful just to be able to seal it, to stop that striving for a little bit, and just know that, that God's there, and that he will be exalted. You know, that's going to happen.
Amen.
Yeah, I wanted to share with both of you guys, last night I had a blessed evening right about dusk. I've told you that I've been asked to officiate a wedding for a young couple that I've known for quite a few years, and the big wedding, about 300 people, and it's a pretty high-faluted wedding at a country club. But more important than that, last night I was blessed to baptize both the bride and the groom in the lake. I used to, the old house that we had, I put a pool in there and baptized quite a few people in that as well, but the Lord opened the door to a home on the lake, and I've always wanted to live on the lake. And I'll tell you what, there's something different about baptizing in God's water than it is in man's water. But there was probably 20, 25 people, all the relatives wanted to be part of it, that were here for the, in town for the wedding, from all over the country, and baptized them both in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And another thing that's really exciting is that of those 25 people on the dock watching, the mother and father were asking more questions about baptism. And we have a little tract that Richard and I put together, and it's nothing to do with scriptures for America. It's nothing to do with any religion other than the Bible.
Yes.
And it basically lists all of the baptism scriptures, as well as the warning scriptures that, you know, if you're going to do this, it's a covenant that you're entering into in with God. And what it means is that you're going to be a Christian, and you're going to live your life like a Christian, and you're not just going to talk the talk, but you're going to walk the walk. And so that was pretty exciting. And also, I incorporated into the service that, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to marry them, but I'm even more grateful and humbled by the opportunity that they afforded to me just a few short days ago to baptize them both in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, as they were born again of the water and the Spirit in accordance to Acts 2:38. And I'm going to read Acts 2:38. Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it right to that whole 300 people in that audience, and I'm going to pray that at least one of them, it convicts them to be obedient to the command. So, pretty exciting.
Amen. It is.
Wonderful.
It is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the good news. You know, it is. That's part of the good news of the gospel. You were reading there in Matthew, John, and I got to tell you, I've got the opportunity tomorrow, and I want to thank you for it now, for to bring a message at the church. And in Matthew 24:14 is the, I don't know, you call it what, the launching text, but the text, and that Matthew 24 is that part that you read, is part of what I'm using tomorrow. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And that's part of it. Part of that gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he came to save that which was lost, and he overcame death for us, and he allows us to do that as well. Through obedience to him.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of the Bible worldwide.
Yep.
And when you support this ministry, you support that. You support that vision of Pastor Peters to do that, to the exact thing, to get the gospel, the unadulterated Word of God, out to the nations all across the country, all across the world.
Yes. Amen.
Give them that opportunity to come to repentance.
Amen. And the pamphlet,
very important.
And folks, the little pamphlet John was talking about, because we have a few different pamphlets on baptism. You know, our pastor did a message a while back called The Bible Story, and it tells about who the people of the Bible are, and it goes into baptism and tells about that, and And it certainly is from the Anglo-Israel perspective, because that's a Bible truth. And but, you know, later in the years, our pastor saw that, you know, he did not want to be a stumbling block. And so he put together a little pamphlet called Don't Miss Out. And it is, it's not from an Anglo-Israel perspective. It's just from a just a Christian perspective. And it, like John said, it just talks about the need for baptism. Here's your scripture verses on baptism. And it's an it's a calling. It's an urgency to do the that very thing that the title suggests. Don't miss out. And we have that available. And then even since then, that was probably, that's been 7 or 8 years ago. But since then, as John mentioned, there's, you know, we have just a gathering of the baptismal scriptures. You know, baptism truths that we'll be glad to send
an email that you can.
Yeah, we can even email it to you. And it is just a list. You know, I spoke to a man the other day, and he said he's got a friend that you know, is belief only, literally. And he said, you know, he just, when they read there, you know, he who believes shall be saved. And the guy hears that and literally closes his ears, this friend, and says, I don't want to hear any more. That's enough. That's all I want to hear. That's enough. And, you know, it's not enough. Because I think it's James 2:9 says, the demons believe and they shudder. And I shared that verse with this brother, and I said, you know, in love, go to your friend and show him that, yes, that is what the scripture says, but it says so much more. And, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, we've been reading about faith and works in Romans, and you read that throughout the Bible about faith, and faith without works is dead. Well, see, I kind of liken it to belief and obedience. Just, you know, I mean, faith is a fantastic thing, and it can stand alone by itself in many aspects. We are to have faith, increase our faith, you know. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the evidence of things not seen. It's belief, but it's also faith. You know, they're two different things. But we also have to have works with that, you know, to make it, to let it bloom and blossom and let it give the fruit that it's supposed to give. You know, I think we all agree with that. Our faith without works is dead. The Bible says that. Well, absolutely. belief without obedience, to me, is the same as faith without works. Belief is great. It's a beginning. It has to be there. It's a foundation. You have to believe. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? I mean, that's what we ask at baptism. You know, that's the public profession of faith. But that's not the end. That's not all of it. That's a foundation. No. That's a beginning. And then we get the obedience with it. Like the caller that said in when James called, or Robert from Tennessee, about, you know, he says, I want to know how God feels about that. You know, if I do this, is it going to be pleasing to him? See, that's the right heart. That's the right heart. Not is it, oh, well, I have an understanding of it, and I say it's this, or I understand. No, is what I do pleasing to God? You know what? Like the old song, when we trust and obey him and be doers of the word, that is pleasing to God.
Yeah, you know, I want to take the opportunity to offer to anyone who's listening to write in or call, and we'll send you free of charge, as many as you want, How to Become a Christian, Don't Miss Out that Richard was talking about, or Acts 2:38. All three of them give you the truths regarding baptism. And if you're afraid to baptize them with fire through Scriptures for America or the Lord Church of Christ, then just call or write and ask Richard, and we'll send you that email. And that email has no affiliation to any ministry. It just shows, it lays out the Scriptures. And there's probably 30 of them that basically tie to baptism, as well as the warning scriptures about taking it seriously.
Yes.
Amen. So, well, and it's no mistake that
people to church. Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
Oh, it's just no mistake that Matthew 3:7 and Luke 3:7 both talk about fleeing the wrath to come, and these people who are belief only, they need to look at that, because, you know, they were warned that, I mean, in a negative way there, as far as being a brood of vipers on baptism, you know, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But the
the wrath to come is a true thing, and if you read those verses and understand what it's saying, evidently the ability to flee that wrath to come, to be covered, comes along with baptism. So, you know, you see that there. It's, if you want to, people say, well, I fear for my soul, but that's not the whole thing. You need that covering there too.
Tim, give them those verses again, because I know we've got people tuning in that are going to want to take a look at those.
Matthew 3:7 and Luke 3:7. It's interesting to me, it always has been, that they're both in exactly the same spot in the Gospels. You've got Matthew and Luke. I mean, they're right there.
Doesn't get any more evident than that. So,
no.
Well, we are about out of time. We do want to invite you to church with us. You can come to church with us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. And, hey, the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we'll have a live message for you through the whole thing. And so we encourage you to be there. It's something you haven't heard before. I hope so anyway. And so we do encourage you to go there. And, again, that's at scripturesforamerica.org. And we'll have a review of the news or a Sunday school, something for you to start out. And you'll see John there and get to kind of see him face to face. And he'll have a welcome for us. And we'll have some good praise and worship music to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are to praise him in song. And we'll have a communion service where we can partake of the emblem and the cup of the cup that holds the fruit of the vine that represents the broken body and the blood that our Lord and Savior gave for us, gave willingly. And we'll have what I'm praying is a Holy Spirit inspired message that hopefully will edify the saints. So we encourage you to join us tomorrow. Well, men, thanks for joining us this morning. And we'll, again, folks, we'll remind you of our address. And our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org.
Rolling, 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 stay calm. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.